Welcome to the Mark in the Morning podcast. Want to receive this daily? Search Mark in the Morning on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I went from the night before to not sleeping hardly at all to out last night.
Wow.
I'm a zombie. I can feel my eyelids.
I can feel your eyelids.
It's that kind of thing. All right, today, it's the thing. When I'm here in California, it's harder for me because, well, 6 o'clock. I mean, I get up at 5 in North Carolina, and then by the time I do the show, it's been 6 hours.
Right.
I'm behind. However, today, 340-year-old cheese found on a shipwreck.
Ooh.
Would you eat it?
I do like cheese, though.
I love cheese. We had cheese for dinner last night.
Just cheese?
Well, yeah. We weren't hungry.
Yeah.
So we ordered a cheese and fruit plate.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Classy.
Yeah. Well, not really. It's cheese.
Yeah.
How classy can cheese be?
How many different kinds of cheese did you have?
5.
Can you name them?
Oh.
I bet it was a blue cheese, a cheddar, a brie, the basics.
Yeah, there was a blue cheesy thing, but there was a white one over here on this side over here.
Yeah,
didn't like that one.
Oh, didn't much care for it.
I pointed that out. I said, hey, Skeeter, don't eat
did
that.
Did it have like a powdery thing on it? Like a...
Stay out of it.
Sorry.
Skeeter, don't eat this one over here.
No good.
Did you have wine? Sorry.
Yes, we did.
Oh, nice.
Of course.
Yeah.
And then we watched the Democratic, which...
You did. Look at you, Mr. On the Up and Up.
It's not as much fun as the Republicans because there's not as much stupid stuff that goes
on. There's not as much bayo. That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, I was challenged on Scott last night.
Oh.
But I will say, they had a very moving video that was put together.
That video was, in my opinion, the first time she's been humanized in her entire life.
Skeeter was in tears on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really, really well done. And Linda kept telling me who put it together, and I don't know the person.
Shonda Rhimes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Who is that?
She is the producer of all the biggest shows on TV. Help me out. Grey's Anatomy.
Scandal.
How to Get Away with Murder. She's the queen of the network.
That video, if you didn't see it, seek it out.
Yeah.
It was really, really great.
And I liked her gardening haircut. I liked the button-up shirt. She really looked normal for once.
The white was a nice outfit. I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Well, in the presidential race, in the history of presidential races, this pound for pound is the worst hair we've ever had for any candidate.
Both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The worst.
Yeah.
So, good luck on voting. Today with your relationship, in an argument, the word that you are not to say and the word that you replace the word that you're not to say with.
Ooh, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it's good. Young adults say they would rather go out for dinner than have sex. Stupid idiots.
Dinner.
A TV show idea I absolutely love. We have a sketch. We're talking with somebody. Eric's doing a voice. I don't know who it is, but it's going to be funny. Guaranteed. So stick around. It's going to be a great show. I'm here.
All right.
I just saw the sketch today. Eric's going to do like 10 voices.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very busy.
Oh, good.
Very busy. All right, this is kind of funny. I love this. If you wanted to learn more about Melania Trump by visiting her website, don't bother. The entire thing has disappeared from the internet. If you type in melaniatrump.com, you will now be directed to trump.com. the website for Trump's real estate enterprises.
Oh, wow.
The move comes amid questions about whether she actually earned a college degree, which the biography on her site claimed. Mm. Yesterday afternoon, Mrs. Trump tweeted, quote, "The website in question was created in 2012 and has been removed because it does not accurately reflect my current business and professional interests."
You know, a lot of times, and I'm no webmaster, but a lot of times when you want to edit something on a website, you go ahead and edit it. You don't pull down the entire website and redirect it to Trump Real Estate.
I want to go back.
Okay.
Originally, it said she had a degree.
Yeah.
Of course, Trump University.
Oh, did she graduate?
I think so.
Right? Oh, class of what?
Wait, is that a joke or are you being serious?
No, it was a joke.
Okay.
Because yeah. Trump University wasn't a real university.
Mikey?
Said university.
Sorry. Mikey?
That was a joke that you didn't get because it was over your head.
Hey, Mikey?
Mm-hmm.
It's usually bad when somebody has to go, is that a joke or you...
Well,
In the world of comedy, that's bad.
I forgot about my room. Gina got it, laughed. Yeah, you didn't get it because it's over your head.
Okay, I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying that normally, instead of going, is that a joke? Usually a person will laugh.
I'm going to guess half the audience laughed, which they didn't hear.
You're stoned like you've been smoking pot.
So, no degree, you say?
Her quote is, because originally it said business degree, quote, the website in question was created in 2012 and has been removed because it does not accurately reflect my current business and professional interests. That is the beginning of an admittance that she doesn't have a business degree, in my opinion.
Is anyone shocked? With all the craziness from the RNC and the DNC and the finger on the button and the lies and the this and the taking money behind the scenes and the Goldman Sachs, literally the last thing on my mind is what catering they had in the hallway, and below that is if Melania Trump has a college degree. That's just me.
Yeah, no, I don't care whether she does or she doesn't. What I love is that she claims she did, and now allegedly maybe she doesn't.
Well, who among us haven't?
All right, raise your hand if you have fudged on a resume. Now, by the way, Gina and I both raised our hands.
Yep.
Mikey, you didn't?
No, I've only had two.
You're so boring.
Jobs. Yeah.
It's just boring.
Go push some buttons and some knobs.
I never needed to. My talents didn't
Wait,
need it.
Go push some buttons and some knobs.
Yeah.
It was the knobs that got me. I've never outright lied, but I have fudged what it was.
What do you mean?
Like, let's say I appeared in said film.
Right.
And I was an extra.
Mm-hmm.
Starring.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At the very least, featured extra.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do. Mark, I got a question for you.
Yes.
You like a cussing woman, right?
Oh, I love it.
It's hot, right?
It's really hot.
And you like Christina Applegate, right?
Take her or leave her.
Okay, well, then this didn't go the way I wanted. Well, Christina Applegate cusses a lot, and it all started when she was a little kid, and she talks about it, and...
Well, wait, my stock in her just went up. I didn't realize she was a cusser.
Oh, dude.
Okay.
No, you're not going to hear half this bit, because it's her cussing a lot.
So good.
Here we go.
When I was 5 years old, I'm going to say a real bad one, but they're going to blurt it out.
When you were five?
I learned this in nursery school. My mom said I came home and I said, sucker. So my mom said that I just like, after that, like I couldn't stop. I'd just be like, and she said, okay, Christina, you can say all this at home, but that's it. You can say it as much as you want at home, but that's it. When we're outside, you are not allowed to say that. So
that was the rule.
That's the rule.
That's so. When and you were home, you were like, "This is good sucking bread."
Yeah.
I was like, every other word, probably.
I was like, "F you, mom. That was awesome."
Yeah.
That was how we rolled. We don't do that. In my house, you were like a little Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, exactly.
We try not. We don't cuss in front of Sadie, obviously.
Oh, Sadie, your daughter is how old?
She's 5 and a half.
She's 5, so there's no swearing in front of her.
That's
no,
crap.
But the other day, Sadie. The other day, she was in the bathroom and she like hit her knee when she was coming out, and I heard her go, "Oh, shit." And I said, "What's that now?" She goes, "What is that?"
Yeah.
And then she just walked away. Someone's been cussing in front of my kid.
Yeah,
and it's you.
Of course, they yeah. pick up all kinds of stuff.
I know.
Or more appropriately, some. Sucker's been.
You're like, Sadie, which sucker tell you that word?
Show me the sucker. Break their off.
There you go. There's.
I like her a lot more than I did.
She's awesome. There's your Mike TV.
That's great.
Sit, Boo Boo, sit. Good dog.
All right. Let's talk this through, because I've had it.
Oh.
I spent the majority of my career as a pop radio top 40 jock.
Yeah.
That's where I came from.
Right.
It wasn't until I was hired in L.A. for KLOS that I was launched into the world of classic rock. Okay?
Yeah.
You with me?
Noted.
All right, so I work at KLOS years. I began to realize that there were people, not people, but most of the people that worked at KLOS had shown up and started as a switchboarder because their love of classic rock, the building that KLOS was like a beacon.
A temple.
It was. And people, because they loved classic rock so much, they gravitated to the building that played the music for them. And they began as a switchboarder, and then they moved up to sales or use traffic or keeping the law, whatever. The majority of that building was filled with people who showed up because they loved classic rock. I just couldn't fathom that. And I was reminded today. I'm going to read this story.
Okay.
Why is this on paper?
Where would you like it to be? Tattooed inside your eyelids?
50 years ago today, Bob Dylan crashed his motorcycle near New York, Woodstock, New York. Who cares? You people do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? But
yeah, that's a big deal.
Why?
Because that's where they said, I believe his voice changed a little bit.
Oh, really?
Did he
crash a windpipe?
I think so.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big deal. And it was Bob Dylan. I mean, do I have to say what the guy's done for music?
Robert Zimmerman?
He almost died, and he had a huge car crash. I mean,
this motorcycle crash.
Sorry, motorcycle crash.
It's a good song, though.
It's a big
song. It's a great song. But why are we being told what the Osmonds were doing on this day 50 years ago?
Because no one cares.
Excuse me, in the world of pop music, quite a few people care.
Dude, if there's a Mount Rushmore of rock, modern American music.
Settle in, Mark. This is going to take a while.
Bob Dylan is on that mountain.
It says he was taken to Middleton Hospital, severe broken vertebrae, concussion, cuts on his face and scalp.
Concussion. Wow. That makes that now it's all coming together.
You classic rock people are driving me out of my frickin' mind the way you adore it. You live for it. Well, here, Dylan had a motorcycle crash 50 years ago today.
You like Bob Dylan.
I like him. I've heard from people who have been to see him live that he's unbearably bad.
Yeah.
Can't hear a word he says.
Yeah. I actually was told I wanted to see Dylan a few years ago, and someone's like, have you ever seen him? I'm like, no. He's like, it's going to ruin it for you. Actually, it was Orny Adams, I think, who said that.
Oh, that's comedian.
You don't want to go to a show and have it ruined for you.
Right, by the artist that you love.
And so, if he's so bad, why does he continue doing it?
Because he has to.
Because he can.
Oh, wait.
Money, 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 money.
Okay, money I get.
Yeah.
Don't suck at the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Open your mouth, communicate the words so people can understand what you're saying.
Yep.
I think he should just write music because I'm gathering from my best friend, well, he's not my best, but my very good buddy, John Waite, that he is an incredible writer. Like, The Girl from the North Country, that is an incredible piece of music.
Yeah, he has some beautiful songs. I remember, and you've got to watch this. It's one of my favorite things ever, and I'm not even a Garth Brooks fan. But Garth Brooks, when he does Live from the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas, I've seen it like a dozen times. He tells a story about how he asked for the lyrics for a Bob Dylan song, but instead Bob sent him just a CD of Bob singing it, and he couldn't decipher any of it.
Wow.
He had to listen to it 800 times and try to write it down manually. Funny. Couldn't understand what he was saying.
That's so awesome. Funny. Yeah. Now, let me be clear. Have you been to see Garth Brooks live before?
Never.
Are you a fan?
I was. I'm from Kansas, so it was very Garth Brooks, Brooks and Dunn country, but we're Jews.
What is the highest city? What city in the United States smokes the most pot? We're going to find out. But right now, let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina Grant.
Speaking of which, the conventions wrapped up last night with multiple songs from Katy Perry, some childhood stories from Chelsea Clinton.
Hey, Katy, you look pretty hot. I'd like to bang you.
Oh, God. Right.
And closing statements by Hillary Clinton. By the way, did you watch Katy Perry?
Yeah.
That girl was multitasking. She's fiddling with her earpiece. She's pulling her monitor down her back. She did not want to have what now is being referred to as a Paul Simon.
Katie, I really need you to take your top off and show it to me. I need to see that. Do that in GQ. I mean, Kim Kardashian does it weekly. Yeah. Just do it one time for Mark, for Daddy.
Just once. Forget the daddy part. Jason Bourne star Matt Damon says he's taking a break from Hollywood after his next movie comes out, and that will be in February. And here's what's trending in sports.
That's Danny. Danny's not himself today. He's got those poppers, so he's popping them everywhere, and now he's got the boat horn.
Yeah. I'm only saying this because Mikey's making me.
Sports!
The Angels beat the Red Sox in a come-from-behind victory.
Yes!
2-1.
It's just a game. You're going nowhere with that team.
Hey, we're 12 and a half out of the playoffs right now.
Yeah, say it again.
12 and a half out. That's
right.
Hey, there's like 60 games to go.
No, it's almost August. It's over. It's
there are
over.
60-plus games to go.
It's over.
Anyway, I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, Mark says something crazy. But first, the heads that talk.
Correct? Yes.
Okay, this is Mark in the Morning.
So, this was kind of funny. We go, when we're in L.A., we go to the ATM machine, which is right down the block, 2 or 3 blocks up. We go and we do it. And because when we're in North Carolina, we do the ATM from the car. So there's no need for
this. Oh, yeah, the drive up, yeah.
Yeah, there's no need for this. But when we're on the street, Linda is specific about the way she wants it done. She's doing the ATM machine.
Okay.
I am standing with my back to her watching shenanigans.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she needs security detail when she does ATMs in LA.
But, you know, it is a thing.
What do you mean?
If you're alone and you're doing your ATM business and you take out cash, people get robbed. Mm-hmm. Probably the number one cash taking.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't mean to call your manhood into question in any way.
Mm-hmm.
However, what does Linda think you're going to do about it if somebody comes up with a gun or a knife and says, give me all your money?
So, Mikey, would your manhood be challenged when that comment comes out? Like, she's saying, what are you going to do?
Yeah. I mean, are you going to karate chop him? Is there a roundhouse involved?
Are you aware that I work out?
I know that you do yoga. Are you gonna warrior one him to death?
I'm just gonna say wow.
Okay.
And again, I want to go back. She doesn't want to challenge my manhood with that comment.
I'm just saying. I mean, I don't know if how many states your fists are registered in, but if the guy has a gun, what are you gonna do?
But I think my job is to watch.
Okay.
And if something starts moving in, I'm kind of like, hey, what's your thing?
Karate chop.
What's going on with you, man?
Yeah. And if it's back away. If it's just a woman standing at the ATM machine, there's a lot better of a chance of her getting attacked than if there's a guy next to her.
Or just looking over your shoulder to see your PIN.
Yeah, totally.
So that's another one, too. The two things I will not do at night alone, I really won't do them at night anyway, ATM and gas station.
Mm. Yeah.
The car will coast on fumes. I'm not stopping at a gas station by myself at night.
Here's my thinking. With my back to Linda while she's doing the ATM, I've just been standing like this.
Right.
No, I'm just kind of standing around.
Yeah, I'm just standing around.
Based on what you just said, try that. Look at this and see if this would be more menacing. Here's what I would do now.
Okay. So Mark is in a deep crouch.
Ninja.
At the ready, ninja stance, arms out, ready to karate chop, I don't know, a small child's because that's how low you are to the ground.
That's
a way better move.
Very Elvis. Like, too, that Elvis pose where he,
sort of a finale thing.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
And that winded me. That's bad.
You worked out.
Yeah, that's I used to.
You, yeah.
When I'm here, I can't. Right. There's crap going on. What the hell?
I left my heart.
God, every time I hear it, I love it.
In San Francisco.
Great city. I'm pissed at it right now. Last time I was there, my Panthers lost to Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. According to a new federal government health study, San Francisco has the most pot smokers in the country. Really? Is it time to break?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll finish this up.
Wait, not Colorado? Somewhere in Colorado?
San Francisco. Apparently, by far. The study, which was conducted by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, finds that 15% of San Franciscans over the age of 12 have smoked pot in the past month. That is nearly twice as high as the national average of 7.7. In general, the West has the highest concentration of pot smoking, while the lowest is in the South.
We did it, everybody.
Yeah.
Big round of applause.
Be proud.
Did you notice that pun in there?
What?
Twice as high.
Mikey. So, call right now if you want to play 5 seconds for $45.
Ooh.
It's crazy. Everybody's talking about this game. Which, actually, I'm kidding. I've never heard anybody say a word about it.
Well, you know, for $45, I bet they actually are starting to finally talk about it.
You figure?
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
I love that video that listener made. It's just so funny. It's so funny to me. So if you want to play, dial right now. Excuse me. 888-696-1003. I have always said, men are like dogs.
Oh.
The moment we eat, we have to take a crap. I'm in the middle of this burrito.
Yeah.
I so badly need to go.
Well, why don't you take the Comrex with you and we'll continue the show.
Mikey comes in to me this morning. I'm in the back studio getting ready for the show. And he comes in and he goes, have you made yet? This is exactly. Have you made? Yeah, actually on the way in here, I had to stop off. Which stall?
Oh, my God.
I was in the first one. Okay, I'll do the second one.
We learned yesterday the man's not clean. So
right, yeah.
I'm not putting my ass cheeks where his ass cheeks have been. Kidding me?
This is the kind of conversation. He wants to know the stall I went in so he doesn't go in the same stall.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's very efficient.
I don't think it's about cleanliness either. I think you're just nerded out, weirded out by the fact that I took a crap in that stall.
Or is it the exact opposite and he is such a fanboy for you
could
that
be.
He wants to go in the same one you went in?
Could wow. be. The seat was a little warm.
Yeah.
This is odd and...
I'm officially creeped out. All right, now this is the kind of thing that if I had had time, I would have gone to see. And it's right here in our city. The exhibit of the Beatles has more than 400 items, and it's been traveling the world for 3 years. And right now, it is on display at the Grammy Museum in L.A.
Oh.
The collection includes a set list handwritten by Paul McCartney for a show in Hamburg, Germany, instruments, a 1963 single of Please Please Me on the VJ label, and the band name spelled Beatles, B-E-A-T-T-L-E-S.
Beatles.
Lunchboxes and coin holders, John Lennon's glasses from 1967, and the suit that Ringo wore in A Hard Day's Night.
That's so cool. And that's the thing. Even if you're not a hardcore Beatles fan or hardcore whatever, when you see something like this and you are staring, you are 2 inches from history, global history that everybody knows about, that's pretty awesome.
Well, there's probably no bigger fans of the television show Friends than my wife and daughters. Mm. And they had a full Friends display, including the entire set from the coffee shop?
Yes.
The Central Perk.
Central Perk.
Okay.
Yep.
So we had to go up there and sit on the couch and get a picture, which we did. But they spent the entire day. There were all kinds of things that were camera used, and they couldn't have had a better time. So if you're into it, the Grammy Museum has a Beatles display. Stop by, check it out. It's going to be pretty great.
Yeah.
You're not eating the boiled eggs?
I don't eat boiled eggs.
Why?
Because I think they're gross.
What are you talking about?
Hard-boiled eggs are disgusting.
They're the best food in the world.
No, I know they're really good for you, and they're the perfect food nutritionally, but I can't get it down.
What's the problem?
The texture.
What?
Whoa.
Oh, man.
I can't eat olives for the same reason. That squishy... it's the worst. And I wish I could, because I'm told it is the perfect food.
It really is.
Can I see you eat a slice of this? He's coming over. Hold on.
Don't say things that are high.
I don't want to grab yours because I feel like it's an individual. He's taking the whole thing out of his mouth. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. You just ate an entire hard-boiled egg in one bite.
That's how you eat them.
Mm-hmm. Are you okay?
I'm perfectly fine. How you doing?
I would never stop throwing up if I did that.
Oh, man. It's so good.
Actually, looking at it, I can't actually look at it either.
Hey, Gino.
Hi. Oh,
that's so gross.
You just seafooded me. I'm turning around and looking at the beautiful view and all over Los Angeles. I can't look at you ever again.
Dang it.
No.
Dang it.
No, you're disgusting. I mean, it's good for you, but that was vulgar, what you just did.
It was not. I eat.
Oh, just swallow it.
I eat.
Oh, God, isn't that noise
gonna help push something out? Though?
He's gonna be farting, go. And it's gonna smell like that hard-boiled egg.
I need everyone to stop talking. You got to change the subject. Finish that thing, please.
Just know this: within 10 minutes, I will be install number one in the men's room here at the Sound. What's the problem? Hey, I know what I got to do. Gina told me, ask about my bracelet. She's wearing a very colorful Indian-style bracelet.
Thank you.
What's the history of that?
Well, I'm in such a good mood right now. Yeah, let me put myself in a better mood. So I made... Oh, my God! Mark, you are seriously the most disgusting person I have ever been in the same room with. Swallow that, please.
It's gone. I'm done.
Can I please tell my story? It's a very nice story that I would like for you not to ruin.
Please.
All right.
I'm looking forward to it.
So I made this beautiful bracelet. Mm-hmm. It's made out of rubber bands.
Did you say you made it?
Yeah, I made it.
Oh, wow.
Thank you. It's all the rage with the kids.
Wait. You're the busiest person I know. You do this show. You do Corolla. You're constantly sending me emails with ideas for content.
Yeah.
How do you have time to make a rubber band bracelet?
Well, I'll tell you. Apparently, this is what all the kids are into. It's all the rage, little rubber band bracelet kits. So I went crazy on Amazon the other night, and I ordered about $150 worth of bracelet stuff and crafts and art and all the stuff, everything I thought would be cool. And I packed it up in my little Mary Poppins bag and I took it over to Children's Hospital LA.
Oh, that's right.
And I had the best time with these kids. They showed me how to do this. I don't make bracelets. I'm not good at anything. So we all sat around in the playroom, made bracelets, had fun, got to know the kids, sang along with Disney songs. Then I went up to the dialysis room and talked to all the kids up there and just hung out. They sit there for 3 and 4 hours at a time on a dialysis machine doing nothing. So we all just kicked it. I brought presents for everyone. Santa Gina showed up. And I cannot wait to go back. There is, thank God, I'm so lucky personally. I don't have any ties to this facility. I don't have any personal stories that tie me to it. But it was the most amazing experience. Children's Hospital LA, it's Sunset and like Vermont-ish. What they do over there is magic. It is absolute magic. Magic. So I can't wait to go back. And they say volunteering, but they're doing me the favor. I'm kicking it with awesome kids and making stuff. So I'm going to go back. If you want to volunteer over there, I don't know. I don't really know what to do or how to do it, but tweet them or get a hold of them. Give them money. Do you know how much money it takes to run that facility every day? And this is a 501c3 corporation. They don't make money at this hospital. They do this basically for free. Give them money. Please, please, please give Children's Hospital LA money and I'll go make more bracelets with the kids. And it was a wonderful day. I did it in between this show and Corolla.
It's great that you're doing that because these, like you say, these kids, they're sick.
Yeah.
And they're going through this and they just sit there for hours. How great that is of you that you would do that.
Well, it was honestly, it was nothing. It was a pleasure and I can't wait to go back and I'm going to bring lots more presents, lots more rubber bands because that's what they're into.
They say that when you do good things, you're the one that benefits. In mere moments, it's the contest that everybody's talking about around the water cooler. 5 seconds for how much, Gina?
$45.
But first, let's try to give away $1,000. It is the classic rock campaign bribe, because bribing people is how you get things done in the good old U.S. of A.
You have 15 minutes to text RANGE to this number, 72881. Messaging and data rates apply. Don't text and drive. All our Mork and Mindy listeners, 18 years of age and older in all 50 states are eligible. We'll have more bribes for our L.A. listeners at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. Once again, the super secret code word is RANGE. And the number to text to be in the drawing for $1,000 is 72881.
Be proud, accept our bribe, and vote for classic rock at work. This is America, damn it.
5 seconds for $45.
All right, we go to Richard, Moreno Valley. Mm. Hang on. Yeah, Moreno Valley.
That's the thing.
Moreno Valley.
Moreno, yeah.
Richard.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Dick?
Chilling, man. They call me that. That's fine.
That's your name.
Never heard that one before.
That's your name.
That's right.
Your parents named you Richard, which makes you Dick.
Yeah, and you know what they call people named Bobby, and they say, well, how do you get dick from Richard? I'm like, baby, all you got to do is ask.
All right, so, Richard, what do you do for a living?
I'm a federal employee. I work for the Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm also a combat veteran, and we help veterans.
Wow.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Oh, by the way, yesterday, you know, I told you when I'm in the room with cops, firemen, mm-hmm. service people, they eat for free. I could not get these two firemen to take my money.
Really?
I tried to buy dinner, and they just would not have it.
Oh, take his money.
Richard, so you're doing a good thing. That's cool of what you do.
Thanks.
Married kids?
Yes, I'm married. I have one child who is 4 and a half, but I'm kind of in your category. I want a grandson, but I'm 46, and he's my only child. Not in the picture.
Yeah, I'm going to wait a while.
Wow. Yeah. Jeez, 40. Yeah. You have a young four-year-old at 45. How's that going?
Yep. Well, I'm 46. I'll be 47 in 3 weeks. It's going real well. I used to weigh 250. Now I weigh 217 because he keeps me moving.
All right. Richard, I got
and
a question.
By the way, yeah. This talk is at the Water Towers. This show is so big. It's a cooler. That's great talk. They stand by the Water Tower and talk about this.
I love Richard.
Good stuff, Richard. I got a question here. If you can answer it, you're going to get $45. If you don't, Monday is worth $50.
We're rooting for you, Richard.
All right, let's go.
All right, I'm going to ask it. Then Josh is going to shout at you for 5 seconds. Good luck.
All right.
What chef's kitchen is on view at the Smithsonian?
Oh, come on, man. Are you kidding me, dude? I know the answer. I'm going to let somebody get $50. No, I'm not. Julia Childs.
Is that the right answer? Because that's what I was going to guess.
That's it, right?
That is the correct answer. However, we're going to have to go tail of the tape. I think 5 seconds was up.
I think, no.
I think he got it in.
I think it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Nope.
Answer.
But it was sweet because you know what? I heard you before. No. Yeah. And it's got to go to Josh says loser.
No, tail of the tape.
yep. Richard, tail of the tape before.
Richard, you got
to.
Richard, you
got
to.
A beautiful woman was on there and she got to go until Josh said loser.
All right, so Richard, you got to stay up. We got to do the tail of the tape and that's going to have to happen. We're going to call you back. Jackie, do you have his phone number? Huh? Jackie.
Right, what's happening?
No.
Half the ladies in LA
have
it
number.
Anyway.
I can get it. Yeah, Richard.
Including
Richard.
Jenna.
What's happening? Richard, stay on hold. Jackie's going to get your number. We're going to revisit the tape and get call you back.
I don't think he made it. I don't think he made it. Everybody's saying yes, but I don't think he made it. I'm going to be strict this time. Last time I gave it and I wasn't sure.
No, I think you're wrong.
Okay, tail of the tape coming up after Gray looks at the movies for the weekend. All right, we've run out of time for Gray. We're going to move Gray 10 minutes away. Richard was on the game, 5 seconds, $45. Josh is counting down, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, loser. Mm. One is 1 second. The beginning of the word loser is zero.
Right.
Tail of the tape, did Richard make it in time? Let's hear it. What chef's kitchen is on view at the Smithsonian?
Oh, come on, man. Are you kidding me, dude? I know the answer. I'm going to let somebody get $50. No, I'm not. Julia Childs.
No. No. Tail of the tape clearly shows Josh was already mostly through the word loser when he said Julia Childs.
And the only... I'd love to give it to him because he's like... He's amazing. I want to marry him. But... He spent 5 seconds saying how he knew it, and he wanted to give somebody else the money next week.
Yes.
So he kind of gave it away.
Richard, call again. You were a lot of fun.
We love you.
But you lose because you're a loser. Because you didn't give the correct answer in the allotted 5 seconds. So eat me.
He just wanted us to know he knew the answer, but he wanted to pay it forward to next week.
Yes, that's exactly right. Mikey.
Yeah.
Play a commercial because I've got to take a car.
Oh, my God.
We now join Gray Drake. She is senior editor for Rotten Tomatoes. Gray, thank you for being flexible. We ran out of time with our 5 seconds question.
No, that's fine. I've just been sitting here with no pants on drinking coffee.
And I don't think she's kidding.
Nope.
All right, let's get into it. Now, I am a huge fan of the Jason Bourne series, and I know that it got weird because Matt Damon left and they had Jeremy Renner, but now Matt Damon's back. Let's talk about Jason Bourne.
I think it's fair to say that Matt Damon is born again.
Oh.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's the pantslessness talking. And Jason is trying to figure out exactly where he came from, the question we've been trying to answer forever. And he's doing it by blowing a whole bunch of stuff up in Vegas. That's awesome. So you're going to get a lot of action from this movie. A couple new cast members, like Oscar winner Alicia Vikander. And critics aren't wild about this one. It's barely rotten. It's breaking Matt Damon's heart because he's a big fan of the site. But I say you're still going to like it.
Okay, I'm in. I'm not going to let a critic talk me against it. I love Matt Damon. I love Jason Bourne.
The stupid critics. Right, Gray?
Exactly. Listen, I defer to you always. Now, next, we've got Bad Moms.
Okay, I saw the trailer and I was intrigued. I thought, possible.
You should be, because this movie is completely hilarious. One of the best comedies of the year, because Mila Kunis, Kristen Bell, Christina Applegate, and the great Katherine Hahn are tearing it up. They are, let's be clear, loving their families, just doing it while totally wasted. And it is a fantastic movie that everybody's going to relate to, not just women, because it's about people who are fed up with being perfect. And this one is just fresh on the tomato meter at 60%. So grab your white wine and go.
Before we go to the last film, I did see Lights Out. And
what'd you think?
Well, what I basically said was to everybody, I said, this movie is just a lot of fun, because in my screening, people were yelling at the screen, don't go in the basement.
Oh, yes.
And then when something good would happen with the heroine, there was a lot of applause. So I said, the movie, especially if you're a horror fan, the movie's a lot of fun. I kind of equated it to Babadook What's the Naomi Watts?
Oh, the Ring.
The Ring.
Oh, The Ring.
But I didn't think that Lights Out was as smart as Babadook or The Ring, but that it was a lot of fun, and I liked it, and it scared me a couple of times.
I agree. I think that it's a very fun, solid movie that's easy to understand. There's not a ton of mythology. And at one point, a character says, good night, and I just yelled at the screen, you mean goodbye? And then I was like, oh, sick burn, Gray Drake.
And she high-fived herself.
All right, so Gray, what is this film, Nerve?
This one stars Dave Franco. Yes, he's James's younger brother, but he's awesome. And Emma Roberts from American Horror Story. And essentially, these kids are running around town playing an app that's Dares for Money. So the watchers are daring people to do stuff for a bank deposit into their account. And I support this as an old person because I like watching young, hot people nearly kill themselves all the time.
This movie has like that like kind of fun dystopian future vibe about it. At least the trailer did.
Yeah, it definitely feels that way. Now, it takes place in the present day, but I know what you mean because people are interacting with their phones and doing things that the machines tell them to.
Mm-hmm.
The film starts out really, really strong, and then I started to notice plot holes you could drive a Mack truck through, which made me like it less, so I just focus on the young people nearly killing themselves. This one, it's no surprise this one is a little rotten on the tomato meter because it doesn't make a ton of sense, but the stars are great. And it is fun, so it's 56% rotten.
Gray Drake is senior editor for Rotten Tomatoes, and she's just a ton of fun. Gray, have a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Somebody dare me to put pants on.
All right, so we should talk about this because it's pretty big news. Apparently, Sesame Street is going to HBO.
Right, which is cool.
Yeah. HBO is dropping three key members.
That is not cool.
Of the Sesame Street and the main guy. I don't know his name.
They're dropping the humans, basically, which is really, really sad. I mean, these guys have been on the show for, 45 years?
Yeah, my kids grew up with them.
Right. Yeah, it's Bob and Gordon and Lewis. I mean, even if you never saw Sesame Street, you know the names Bob, Gordon, and Lewis.
Well, I mean, they've gotten older, right? Maybe it's kind of hard for the kids to relate to the older dude.
I'm sorry that puppets don't age and that human being carbon-based people do.
Well, it's everywhere. It's pretty big. Yeah. So just know, if you're a big Sesame Street fan, three of the biggest names in the show are no longer with it. Bob,
Gordon, and Lewis.
Okay. All right, so we got six or five reasons. I don't write it down. I think it's
a couple
five
of reasons. Yeah.
Five reasons. And then today, our voice actor, Eric, he's going to be doing like 10 voices.
He hates when this happens.
Yeah, he works it and works it and works. It's going to be fun to listen to him struggle. Hey, if it goes perfectly, it's funny. But if the wheel comes off, it's hysterical. You know, I find myself sitting here wondering, what's trending?
Giving me a real aggressive stare right now. Well, presidential nominee Hillary Clinton spent a good chunk of her speech ripping on Donald Trump last night. The line of the night that's getting everyone in a tizzy is, quote, "A man you can bait with a tweet is not a man you can trust with nuclear weapons." Chipotle is still struggling to win back customers after a series of food scares. Plans to open its first burger restaurant this year. The chain known for burritos said Thursday it will open a Tasty Made location this fall. That's going to be in Ohio. It will be limited to burgers, fries, and milkshakes. Don't we already have one of those?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tasty Made.
Tasty Made.
Why is it that when I was a kid, and even now, a lot of ice cream places beget, they were named Tasty. There was a
Freeze.
That was the one I was thinking about. I had a Tasty Freeze.
Mm. Tasty Freeze has the best corn dogs on the planet, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. If you can find, like, an actual, like, you go into the Tasty Freeze, like, the restaurant, oh, my God.
Corn dogs. I love corn dogs.
Me too.
Who thought of taking a hot dog, putting it on a stick, dipping it in batter, and then frying that?
A god.
Needs to...
So good. And here's what's trending in sports. Aw, not so fun. The Rays beat the Dodgers last night 3-1. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Mark reveals something so insane that it'll have you naked running through the streets. That's going to be in Five Reasons Today Doesn't Suck.
She's
right?
Lying. I have nothing.
It's going to blow all of
our minds.
There'll be a mushroom cloud over your
head.
No,
it isn't. There's nothing in there that's interesting.
That's at 7:35, and just really hold on to something. But first, the cars. This is Mark in the Morning.
So Gina is in here apparently telling lies about the Dodgers. Yeah. What's your problem?
It's a half lie. The Rays did beat them 3-1, but it was Wednesday, not Thursday. I'm so sorry. I'll hand in my resignation at the end of the show.
No, you're not. You don't care.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah, I don't either. the DNC last night, the actor Bradley Cooper went. Mm-hmm. I saw it. They ripped him. His fans, I'll just give you one of them. Bradley Cooper at the DNC, he's dead to me now.
Oh, what happened?
Nothing.
What?
He just showed himself to be a Democrat, and his liberal fans.
Wait, is it because he played Chris Kyle?
Maybe,
in
yeah.
The Sniper movie?
I suppose.
Mm-hmm. That's the only connection I could possibly make, because why would you care what Bradley Cooper does or thinks or votes for at all?
Yeah. All right, it's time now. I think it's five, possibly six. No. No, it's five.
No.
Five reasons today doesn't suck.
One.
Rush lead singer and bassist Geddy Lee is celebrating what birthday, Mikey?
62.
63.
Oh, okay.
You stupid idiot.
Yep.
Here, Geddy talks about the song Free Will. Let me get the key.
The structure of that song, the time signature, and the way the riff is put together technically is what I like most about that song, what I remember most about that song.
Coffee.
It seems to be one of the first songs that we did that flowed naturally through different time signatures, and it was also a song that allowed me to stretch out and be very aggressive in my bass playing, especially in the middle parts. I think it's one of my favorites, actually, of that period of our band.
I do dig it. I had Geddy on the Mark and Brian show, and he is a huge baseball fan, mm-hmm. and he'll go to a baseball game, and he'll keep book. And he got into it because Rush is on the road and you don't have anything to do in the day, right. So he would go to baseball games.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And so now he goes and he keeps book, which I love. He scores the game. Huh? Love it.
Two.
It was on this day in 2014. Neil Young gets rid of the old and brings in the medium. He files for divorce from Peggy Young, his wife of 36 years, 36.
Wow.
His new romantic relationship with actress Daryl Hannah comes to light a month later.
That's a bizarre couple to me. Daryl Hannah and Neil Young?
Agreed.
Huh?
And David Crosby got in his face about it, mm-hmm. and now Neil Young won't talk to him.
Mm-hmm. And isn't David Crosby the father of Melissa Etheridge's child?
That is correct.
This is just, that's too much.
Now, let's say that you are a woman and you've decided you're going to have a child.
Okay.
Why would you select David Crosby to take his sperm? Have you looked at him?
He has a sweet, sweet voice.
Yeah, his harmonies, man.
Oh, I see. So the child's going to be a singer.
A super singer, Melissa Etheridge and David Crosby.
With sideburns that stick off their face 3 feet.
That kid was born high.
All right, let's get rid of that and do this.
Three.
Wow. This was a pretty great decade for pitchers. Listen to this. It was on this day in 1990. No-hitter. Now, a no-hitter, Gina.
Yeah.
Is when the pitcher goes to the mound nine times in a nine-inning game, throws the ball for three outs, and nobody on the other team gets a hit.
What else could it possibly be?
Gina, I know more about gardening than you do any sport.
I thought I needed to explain it to you. A no-hitter means when nobody hit it. I got to write this down.
No-hitters are hard to come by.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're being a difficult ass, Gina. I was trying to be nice and explain
you're
it to
very
you.
Very sweet.
You know what? I am not going to talk to you the rest of the day.
Do you promise?
All right. No-hitters are really hard. On this day in 1990, no-hitters are pitched in both leagues on the same day.
Whoa.
By guesses?
Nolan Ryan.
Nope.
Dodger. Pedro Martinez.
Nope.
Ramon Martinez.
Dodger. One of the most famous pitchers.
Oral Hershiser.
No, 1990.
Fernando Valenzuela.
Fernando Valenzuela.
Good job, Mikey.
And I'll give you a hint. In the American League, it was the A's.
Dave Stewart.
It is.
Wow.
Dave Stewart.
God, I'm good.
Yeah. Calm down with that.
Sorry, I know my baseball, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Four.
Hey, Jude, don't make it bad.
It was on this day in 1968, the Beatles begin recording Hey Jude at Abbey Road Studios in London without producer George Martin, who had the night off. Over the next 4 days, with a move to Trident Studios, they produced their longest-running song, 7 minutes, and their most dominant stay at number one, 8 weeks.
Unbelievable.
Don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her. The minute you let her under your skin.
And
five.
You know that it would be untrue.
It was on this day in 1967, The Doors' Light My Fires begins a 3-week run at number one on Billboard.
Girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire.
Coming up, our voice actor Eric is going to try to do like 10 voices. I haven't read the whole thing, but it's like a lot.
Something tells me this wasn't his idea.
No, I'm hoping he screws it up. It's really going to be good if he does. That'll come your way at 7:55. Hey, Danny. It's okay. I'll get up and walk over and get my own script. I'll produce myself today. It's all right. No, I got it. It's right here.
Oh, God.
It's right here, Danny. I got it. Don't even get up. Don't even get up. Stay right there.
Stay comfortable. Keep your feet up. Here he is.
All right.
Get comfortable.
The Republican and Democratic National Conventions are over, but coverage of the conventions brought all the news network huge boosts in ratings. So that gave us an idea. We're going to have our own dual party convention right here on the show. I have all sorts of political figures on the phone. Let's do a little roll call, shall we? Donald Trump, are you there?
I'm here, and this is going to lead to huge ratings. Huge, believe me. I can't wait to have my Russian hacker buddies forward me the congrats email you're going to get from your boss, Mike.
Great. Bill Clinton, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I decided to take a break from celebrating Hillary's speech as well as slowly wasting away from some mysterious illness to join you, Mark. I look rough.
Very good. Mike Pence, are you there?
Yes, I am here, standing behind this good and decent man, Donald Trump. But make it quick. I have a busy day of telling women what to do with their bodies ahead of me.
Yikes. Ben Carson, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here. And I can't wait
Bernie Sanders.
Sorry, I couldn't hear over the story. Yes, Mark, I am here. And all of the Bernie or Bust protesters are on the way, too. I can't control them anymore, Mark. They frighten me.
Me too. George W. Bush, are you there?
Oh, you betcha I am here, Mark. I'm very much looking forward to the talkification I'm going to be doing out of my word hole. And I can't wait for my message to reach the side of the head listening flaps of your audience.
John McCain.
Hello, my friends. Senator John McCain here. I'm ready to take you young punks to school because, well, I'm a maverick. Then I'll be ready to take a nap, too. Then maybe eat some pudding. Then another nap.
Sounds great. Al Gore, are you there?
I'm here as well, but let's make this speedy. I've got a nooner planned with Mother Nature. I mean, Tipper. I don't have sex with the Earth, Mark. That's crazy talk. Not sure why I said that.
Gross. Jimmy Carter, how about you?
Yes, Jimmy Carter here. I decided to take a break from building houses and munching on peanuts to talk to you. I love peanuts. I love putting peanuts in my mouth. Peanuts.
Okay, and finally, Ronald Reagan from heaven, are you hearing us?
Well, yes, I am hearing everything that's going on down there. So proud of what the Republican Party has become. Mr. Trump, don't build that wall.
Okay, that's everybody. So before we begin our convention, let's go ahead and have everybody say the Pledge of Allegiance at the same time.
Wait a minute, at the same time?
Yes, Donald.
You want all of us to say the pledge together simultaneously?
I do, Bill.
Wow. Hey, sorry, Mark. You're breaking up, which is a shame because everybody's entitled to their fair share of cell phone service.
Seriously?
Uh-oh, Mark. It looks like the signification of your talking machine ain't good. In fact, it could be a lot gooder.
Right. All right. Well, thanks for trying, everybody. Everybody seems to be pretending their phones are malfunctioning, Dr. Carson.
Oh, well, to be fair, my phone really is malfunctioning, but that's because I'm old and don't know how to use it.
Goodbye, everybody.
My Russian hacker buddies must have broken into the phone company's service. Just fantastic. Wow.
Eric.
Yeah.
How long do you practice that?
I sat with this for about an hour.
That's awesome.
I was expecting to hear half the day.
Yeah. He's a professional, Mark.
Wow. There were some similarities between John McCain and, well, Ronald Reagan.
So good.
Eric, have a great weekend, my friend.
You can only spread the guy so thin, Mark.
All right, so I was telling you, and I didn't finish the ATM story. What time do I have to be in a song right now?
You got about a minute.
Okay, so Linda goes to the ATM. And in North Carolina, we're in a car, but here, we're out in the public.
Right.
So she's a little freaked out because if you take cash out of an ATM, it's the number one time where you can get robbed. So I am to turn around. Mm. My back is looking out. Right.
Standing guard. Yeah.
Okay. Here was the point that I was trying to make with that. Linda is doing the ATM. She's mm-hmm. just about to put her card in and dial the number when the ATM machine moved.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean it moved?
It moved. And then there was loud banging. There was a person on the other side working on it.
Oh, my God. That would scare the hell out of me.
It was, Linda was pretty startled.
Oh, my God.
Sports with Todd brought to you by our friends and buddies at Frontier Toyota in beautiful Valencia. Which quarterback is number one on the depth chart with the Rams? Todd's going to tell you after Supertramp on Mark in the Morning.
spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
So with training camp now 2 days old, we're starting to see movement. Tide, the Rams have said, we've got a number one position quarterback now.
Well, going into camp, and he's maintaining it, obviously, the first couple days, is Case Keenum, number one on the depth chart. Now, I said depth chart. Gina, what did you think I said?
I thought you said death chart, and I was like, you guys are brutal.
Well, boy, I'll tell you, the Rams are running a brutal camp, aren't they? Now they have a death chart,
yeah.
Okay? You know, you don't do very well, you're on the death chart. No, it's the depth chart, okay? And believe it or not, this is the first time in his 5-year pro career that Case Keenum has come into camp as number one on the depth chart. He was number two last year to Nick Foles, and of course the Rams let go of Nick Foles, and right behind Case Keenum is Jared Goff, but Keenum says he's not looking over his shoulder. Last year he started 5 games. They were 3-2. By the way, Jared Goff now is number 14 among jersey sales of NFL players.
Mm.
Number 14, so that's pretty good.
Mm.
Cowboy linebacker Reggie McClain was not on the team flight to California for Rams training camp. He's been suspended for 10 games this season for substance abuse violations. But if he doesn't report by 2 o'clock, look out. Mm. And the Broncos coach, Gary Kubiak, has said that his team has no interest in bringing in Nick Foles to compete for quarterback. Like we talked about it yesterday, their quarterbacks are Mark Sanchez, Trevor Siemian, and Paxton Lynch, the rookie out of Memphis. I got a funny feeling that Mark Sanchez is going to be a starting quarterback on that team, and he's going to do pretty well.
Well,
I get that funny feeling.
The thing that you get with Mark Sanchez, he's a veteran. He has had experience. He's lived in the fire of the media storm in New York City. My only thing with Sanchez is that I've never seen him have that burning desire. But plays well. He throws well. He executes. He butt fumbles as well as anybody I've ever seen.
I'm sorry.
Fumble a butt one time and you're a butt fumbler for life. I don't know. There's a real good joke there somewhere.
I just don't see that kill desire that you've got to have.
I think there's a certain maturity, though, that he may be there because, like you said, he was the fair-haired boy for a while, and then he was knocked back a few notches, and he's bounced around to a couple teams, and now he's with the Broncos, a team that's won the Super Bowl last year, albeit a different team this year.
I agree with you. He is the proper choice to guide them to some good games.
And I love this story, Mark. Jaguar running back Denard Robinson, we told you about this I think a couple months ago. He was found in a pond in Florida in his car while the car was sinking with his girlfriend in the car as well, too. And the police pulled him out of the car while it was sinking. And there was no intoxication. There was no DUIs. They did tests and everything else. It wasn't a DUI thing. It wasn't It wasn't drunk or under drugs or anything else like that. So first day of training camp yesterday, the press immediately said, hey, Denard, how did you wind up in a pond in a car sinking in it? And he said, I fell asleep at a stoplight. And then the car kind of rolled slowly because I was sleeping. And it went into the pond and I was still sleeping. And I just have one thing to say about, God, I wish I could sleep like that.
Right?
Man, would that be what a blessing he has to be able to sleep like that, you know? So unless you're driving late at night, and then you might wind up in a pond. But anyway, good for him. All right, baseball now. Hey, the Angels win 2-1 over the Red Sox last night. But how they did it was fantastic. They're in the bottom of the ninth inning. Ground ball to first baseman Hanley Ramirez, the Red Sox. He throws wildly to home to try to get Mike Trout at home plate, and the ball goes wild, and then the winning run comes around and scores after Trout scores. They score 2 runs on a throwing error in the bottom of the ninth inning to win over the Red Sox 2-1. So now those Angels are 12.5 games out of first place, Mikey, with, roughly, 9 weeks to go in the season.
They got a chance, and they're 9-4 since the All-Star break, in case anyone was wondering.
They've been playing better. Dodgers, by the way, host to Arizona tonight. They're 2 games back at San Francisco because San Francisco lost last night 4-2 to Washington. And the Cubs 3-1 winners over the White Sox yesterday. And the Cubs beat Chris Sale, who is pitching for the White Sox. He, of course, returning from a 5-game suspension for cutting up the uniforms, the throwback uniforms. And now Sale says he wants to put those throwback uniforms that are cut up on auction. He wants to auction them off to sports collectors. You got to be one stupid sports collector to want to have to. I mean, come on. And the PGA is going on right now. This is the last of the golf's majors. It's the second round of the PGA. Jimmy Walker still in first place at minus five. But the other notables out on the course, and Walker will tee off later on this afternoon, but McIlroy is 4-over. Rory McIlroy, 4-over. He tees off later today. Jason Day is 2-under. Look out. He tees off later today. He's in position to make a move. Phil Mickelson is 1-over. Jordan Spieth is on the course right now. He's 2-under, so he's only 3 shots back, so he's having a good PGA, and that's after 6 holes. But Dustin Johnson, after 4 holes today, plus 9. The U.S. Open winner likely will not make the cut unless he does something spectacular over the final a few holes there. Hey, that does it for sports, brought to you by Frontier Toyota in beautiful Valencia. Enormous selection of certified pre-owned vehicles. Remember, you are family at Frontier Toyota. Just go and mention the sound and see what Frontier will do for you. Have a great weekend, guys.
You too, Todd. What is the best airline in the world? And what is the best airline in the United States?
Ooh.
I will tell you at 20 minutes after 8. According to airline consultant Skytrax, take a guess, best airline in the world.
Okay, I've never flown on it, but the commercials look pretty sweet. I'm going to say either British Airlines or the United Arab Emirates fancy.
Number one, Emirates.
Emirates, okay. Because that's like the Jennifer Aniston commercial when they're like sleeping in the beds and have the bar and the dance floor.
Yeah, but how expensive is that?
Very.
I don't have a problem with it.
If we all chipped in, we could hit us in a jump seat together.
So Emirates is... Now, Skytrax conducted the survey of millions of air travelers to determine the best all-around. Emirates beat out last year's winner, Qatar?
Qatar.
Yeah. All right. The rankings are based on several criteria, including flight staff service, amenities... In-flight entertainment, which I don't need, seat comfort, which I do need, and cost. Take a guess on the top U.S. airline.
Boy, they're all pretty terrible. Let me think about it for a second. Virgin America?
Gotta be.
Specifically Virgin America.
You people are doing very, very well today.
Well, we know our airlines.
What makes them so great?
Oh, that's fancy. They have like purple lighting and the airline attendants are hot.
The screen in front, yeah. You can do anything. You could order food, watch any movie.
Oh, and remember, they're the airline. Wait, Mikey, weren't they the airline that had like that sort of dating service thing on each of the seats?
Yep.
And if you like someone in another row, you could send them a drink.
Wow.
They're fun.
The funniest, you know, the introduction thing where they tell you where the emergency exits on? The funniest intro video of any airline. It's so good.
I don't fly them enough.
Yeah.
I got to do that.
I've never flown them.
Oh, Mark, it is so you. You would love it.
Well, I mean, because we fly back and forth coast to coast, it was US Air. Now it's American. There's 4 nonstops a day from Charlotte to LA, LA to Charlotte.
Well, you can't beat that.
But at some point, I'm going to fly this Virgin American. I want to date somebody up in row 4.
It'd be a whirlwind romance. Yeah. 30,000 feet up.
Send them a drink. All right, now check this out.
Got the night up there in front of the show. You want to keep me happy is what you gotta know. I want the blues, grab macaroni and cheese.
Now, divers exploring a 340-year-old shipwreck off the coast of Sweden found all sorts of artifacts, including a tin jar containing cheese. They didn't know what it was until they opened it, but the pungent smell told them right away it is cheese. One researcher said, it's a pretty good guess that it's some kind of cheese. We think it's cheese. It's been in the mud, so it's reasonably well-preserved. But at the same time, it's been at the bottom of the sea for 340 years.
Wow.
Okay, as fascinating as that is, the 4 words you want to have coming at you the least is We think it's cheese. No thanks.
But pretty cool. 340 years that shipwreck has been at the bottom of. I used to do a lot of scuba diving.
You did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. That's cool. I just never took you for a scuba diver. Go ahead.
Well, there was this thing where you could go down to the ocean and you could go to this company and you would buy a trip to dive on whatever you chose to. There was a German tanker that had been sunk in World War II. And it was, the bow of the ship was, I think, 90 feet down. And then further down you go, you're down to 160 feet.
Wow.
And in scuba diving, the lower you go, the more oxygen you use quicker because it's under pressure. Anyway, I get down there to the bow of it, and the torpedo had entered the side of the left side of the ship, and the deck was thick steel. The explosion from the torpedo had blown pieces back like this, and they were still there. Just an explosion you could see in
like
metal.
Frozen in time.
Yes.
Wow.
That was pretty cool. And then I swam down inside the exploded bow, and I'm kind of down in there. The creepiest part was I'd gone down some stairs and into a thing, and the men's beds were still there. Not the mattresses, just the steel, and there were three of them. And I've got a little flashlight, and I turn around, and my flashlight's not on it, and I see two eyes.
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't put the flashlight on it. I just got out as quickly as I could.
What do you think it was?
Just probably a fish.
A giant squid.
Just a big fish. But I didn't hang to find out.
At any point, because this is what I'd be afraid of, did you freak out? Because they say whatever you do, don't panic when you're underwater. You're going to go through all your air.
Well, not panicking is key, but I was going on this very same thing. I was going through a very small opening, and the top of my tank got hooked on the other part.
No.
Now, this is where if you don't panic, you realize, okay, I just swam into it. Just back up.
Right.
And go, and that's what I did.
Did Linda do this? Sorry, I take back the last 4 seconds.
You met?
My bad.
Linda won't even sit on the beach and watch me doing it from there. So
that's cool.
Well, yeah, I really enjoyed it, but eventually I got tired of lugging all of the equipment because you've got mask, fins, wetsuit, tank. Yeah. It's just this huge bag that was so heavy. But I will say, you get on the boat and you're being taken out to the site where you're going to dive. And when usually there's two dives and you have to decompress between each dive, depending on how deep you went.
So you don't get the bends.
Correct. And everybody does all kinds of stuff. Some people play cards. I would take a kite and fly a kite off the boat while waiting for the next dive to go.
You are Tom Sawyer.
That is one of my favorite Van Halen tunes. What's the name of that?
What was that? Love Walks In?
I don't know. I love
that
it.
Was, yeah.
Is that Eddie on keyboard?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Thank you. That's perfect.
Okay. Would you like to...
Yeah, I just need a vamp. I need to write something down.
That's what I was doing.
Because you really care about that, Van Halen. Like,
Mikey said she had 20 seconds. She said, I need more, so I kill some time for
you. You're really nice. I don't care what everybody else says.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, 4 new cases of Zika have been found in the U.S. Hey, if you're a Rams fan...
I got some Zika in my pants.
I hope that's not true. If you're a Rams fan who's looking for a career change, the Rams are hosting a hiring event today. That's from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at South L.A. Workforce Center. I think
have
there's
you
already,
seen that line of people?
Yeah, big line, but you might want to get
but
in
But did
it.
You see the people?
Yeah, they're all dressed very nicely. They had their chairs out. They've been up all night. Good for them. And, you know, you get down there, too. And 3 beloved Sesame Street characters are getting canned after 45 years of programming.
That is probably the number one trending story right
now. Oh, man, it sucks for them. The show is moving to HBO, and the characters Bob, the music teacher, Gordon, the science teacher, and Luis are not going with them. Wow. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Political comedian Michael Loftus breaks down last night's DNC. That's at 8:35. But first, Joe Walsh, this is Mark in the Morning.
Uncle. Oh. A message in a bottle.
Fan mail from some flounder?
No, this is what I really call a message.
I'm intrigued by this one because normally when I'm reading fan mail from some flounder, it was an email that was forwarded to me. This is an actual letter.
Old-timey. Somebody wrote you a letter.
Right. Sent here, and Matt very funnily opened it for me in case there's anthrax on it. It's very funny. Dear Mark, I've listened to you since the first day you and Brian hit the air on the other radio station. I was ecstatic when I found you on The Sound. Last week, you said that the Mormon owners of The Sound asked you what you planned to do with your voice, and I wanted them to know what you do for us. 2015 was a horrible year for my family and me. I lost a dear friend on July 25th. I lost my mother. Then we lost my son's best friend. And then I lost two more very dear friends throughout the year. Five loved ones lost in a two-month period. Their deaths caused such despair, it felt like I was attacked. Normally, I'm a very happy person, but was overwhelmed by grief and felt that I would never recover. Listening to your stupidity every morning changed the frown to a smirk, smirk to a grin, grin to a smile, and finally, smile to a laugh. This is what you do with your voice every day, and I wanted your Mormon owners to know that's what you do. Thank you for the many years of happiness and outright laughter you have given me. Please don't retire again. We, your listeners, need you sincerely, Cheryl.
Love you, Cheryl.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, all I really wanted to do was sit in front of a mic and tell jokes, and then you start to hear from people that.
Yeah.
So it's always good to hear. All right, let's go to Michael. No, sorry. Michael Loftus. Let's go. Michael, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing out there?
Thank you for making more time for us. Michael has the Flip Side with Michael Loftus and the Loftus Party podcast. This guy talks about the news, but from a different angle, the flip side of the news. So, Michael, your thoughts on what we witnessed with the DNC?
Here's what we witnessed last night from Hillary. She laid down a solid bunt. She did what she needed to do. And then I tell you what we witnessed. Way too many balloons. Way too much confetti. I mean, I know she wanted to go over the top and show Donald Trump, here's how you do a balloon drop, but good Lord.
Michael, on This Week Tonight, John Oliver referred to Trump's balloon drop as a, quote, sarcastic amount of balloons, and I think Hillary topped him.
Well, you know what? Yes, but here's what you do. You could make the case Donald Trump stayed under budget. He was very Republican about the amount of balloons he purchased, while Hillary racked up a balloon deficit.
Now, Michael, the one thing that and I'm not a political person, but it was made very clear that Hillary's fundraising was crazy. She had money. That video, what's your name, Gina, that put it together?
Shonda Rhimes.
Okay. That video was impeccable, and my wife was in tears.
The video was great. When you hire Shonda Rhimes to do it, and then you got Morgan Freeman, you literally have the voice of God telling people you're good. I don't know. The only else she could have thrown in maybe some dinosaurs from Jurassic Park, maybe some Star Wars 3D. Yeah, that was the whole shooting match right there. If she doesn't win this thing, it won't be because she didn't try.
Is there such a thing as the winner between the Republican convention and the Democrat? Is there a winner?
You know what? I think you have to go apples and oranges. But I tell you what, in terms of conventions, you got to say Democrats won this one hands down. I mean, hands down.
I will.
They had everybody. They had movie stars. You had Morgan Freeman, Elizabeth Banks. You had Katy Perry doing, like, really, honestly, the Republican convention looked kind of stupid. In comparison.
Yeah, you know, I did find myself missing Scott Baio.
That would have been great. That would have been great. However, the one thing that would have put Hillary over the top, because it was kind of a letdown. You had Obama doing a great speech. Michelle did a great speech. Bill did a great. Everybody was just knocking it out of the park. And then Chelsea came out, and you're kind of like, oh, yeah, there's Chelsea. You know, you kind of have to be happy for her. And then Hillary comes out, and you're like, yeah, there's Hillary. And she lays down a bunt. If you could have brought back Barack Obama for, like, an encore, that place would have gone nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked it what you said the other day. You said, you're the nominee, and you're the worst speaker of the convention. Yeah. So I like what you say. Michael, I have so enjoyed getting to know you. This guy is the host of The Flip Side with Michael Loftus and the Loftus Party podcast. You can check him out at theloftusparty.com. Michael, we will speak again soon.
Let us do it, my friend. I have had a blast all week long.
You're a funny man. We'll talk again very, very soon.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right, now, damn it, where is it?
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Everybody just calm down.
Okay.
Ah, there it is. All right, I like this. And I'm not a fan of reality shows. Mm. A new British reality dating show is where contestants choose a date based on what they look like naked.
Mm. Wait, what?
In the show called Naked Attraction, six contestants stand in lit-up boxes that show their breasts and privates, but not their faces.
Okay.
When a contestant isn't picked, they then have to come out and say goodbye to the person who rejected them.
Naked?
I don't think naked.
Huh. This seems like a very basic game. Whose boobies do you like best, they should call it.
I like it.
Okay.
Now, in the show, do we get to see the boobs, do you think?
Well, I assume.
But this is...
It's the BBC. Anything goes.
Really?
I think they have a lot more leeway than we do.
What's wrong with us?
We're jerks. So they stand in a lit-up box, and you see everything but their face, and you see their frontal and backle and the whole vibe.
Yes.
And then what happens when you pick the one you want?
I guess you go on a date. It doesn't go into further detail as to what happened. Naked dating game.
Would you... Two-part question. Would you go on this show... And which side of the game would you be on? Would you be one of the ones in the box with your junk, or would you pick one of the people?
I'm happy to be in the box. I'm happy to pick.
Really?
Either way. I'm intrigued by this one. If this were on, I would watch it.
What's it called? Naked and Afraid?
Naked.
That already exists. Yeah.
Just naked. I'm sorry. Naked Attraction.
Naked Attraction. Yeah, this looks good.
I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Because look. If I'm looking in the box and there's just some old floppy boobies, I'm not picking those.
Even if she comes out and she's Heidi Klum in the face.
Sorry, you got floppy boobies. I don't want to go out with that. But those things are dragging down by your ankles. So I don't want to.
You'll take a butter face any day.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
Absolutely.
Noted.
There is a very funny website where it's smoking hot bodies, and the women are just butt ugly, but their bodies are great.
I feel like a traitor to my gender even having this conversation.
It's pretty fun. I mean, what about the same thing? Yeah. A guy with a gorgeous body, but he's just ugly.
Snaggletooth.
Yeah. All right. I like this. All right. Relationship experts and psychologists have discovered the one word not to say during an argument with your wife or girlfriend.
Ooh.
And it's a surprising word. When you are bickering with your lady, avoid saying the word should.
Oh, that's great!
At all costs, avoid it.
You know what you should do?
What?
Well, that's what they're saying, right?
Right.
That's fantastic.
So again, the word should at all cost is to be avoided, and replace that word with the more gentle phrase would like.
Oh, okay.
For example, you should stop nagging me for drinking so much bourbon. Mm. That's going to get you in trouble.
Right.
You'll have better luck with, I would like to drink my bourbon without interruption.
Oh, that's a classy way to say it.
Instead of, you shouldn't bring that up. Try, I would like to not talk about this right now.
That's good. That's really good.
And then consider using would like to improve the quality of your life. I would like you to please get me a beer before this one is empty.
That's awesome.
Mikey, when am I supposed to be into the song?
We can do it now.
Okay, here's the song.
Ha, 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 ha.
on the wrong page, Mikey, and I'm going to blame you because there's nobody else to blame.
You always do.
Well, we welcome in the great Ed Asner into the room. We'll talk about why he's in the room momentarily. Ed, how are you?
Couldn't have said it better.
Ed, my question for you is this.
I've been taking voice training.
So you're sitting around watching TV and you roll across any show that you're in. Do you stop down and watch yourself?
All depends whether I'm on my way to the bathroom or not.
Good answer and a fair answer, yeah, I would say.
Logical.
Now, Ed is here to talk about the fourth annual Ed Asner and Friends Poker Tournament and Celebrity Casino Night. It is Saturday, August the 6th, 5 p.m., USC Tower at the South Park Center. Celebrities involved are Rosie O'Donnell, Dylan McDermott, Ed Begley Jr., Michael McKean, and more. Jeez. Their goal is to raise $100,000 to support Autism Speaks. Tell us about the event Autism Speaks.
Well, I have a son and a grandson who are affected by autism. I have seen the hurt that it creates, the handicap that it creates, and at the same time, I've been blessed with the beauty each of them are endowed with, to know autism is a very special treatment of life. If the world was run by autistics, it'd be a happier world, I think.
Wow. Yeah. And, well, you're putting your heart out there, raising money and having a fun event. By the way, if you get involved in the poker tournament, in addition to the tournament, guests will receive and enjoy a casino night, including blackjack, craps, and roulette, a dinner buffet, cocktails, and again, the goal is to raise $100,000 to support Autism Speaks.
That's a hell of a night.
Yeah, yes, please.
And also, if you want to go to their website, it's autismspeaks.print2d.com. Entry deadline is August the 1st. Well, listen, Ed, on behalf...
I couldn't have done a better job myself.
I mean, it's all written down.
Let him do the grunt work.
I'm so glad I couldn't find my voice. Then you could take over. That's good. Good work.
Well, listen, Ed, on behalf of all of us who have watched television for the past 60 years, thank you for a great body of work.
Well, thanks for that great body.
Speaking of which, Mr. Asner, you a single man?
Thank you, Ed. Okay, so that's it. Weekend, good. Uncle Joe's doing a garage or something, or he's just laying naked somewhere. But Mikey, what would we have for the 10 at 10?
All right, 10 at 10, supported by Charter. Join America's fastest growing TV, internet, and voice company. Get the Spectrum Triple Play today. Call 888-75-SWITCH. Today, it's the year that Die Hard came out.
81.
No, way late.
Way late?
Yeah, you're way early there. It's much later in the year.
89.
Close. 1988.
Okay, so now I joke, but Monday, it's really big. This is our first time to get there. 5 seconds for $50. That's big.
That's huge.
Listen to you trumpet it. It's huge. Mikey.
Yeah, it's us, Mark, and them. Here's Pink Floyd on Mark in the Morning.
Want more Mark in the Morning? Live and in living color in Southern California. Listen weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 100.3 FM.